Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is...
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This...
Let's get it on.
...is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eggers.com.
Presiding officer declines to read the question as submitted.
If we lower the standard and dumb it down, everybody's going to impeach everybody, and it's going to be a disaster for our country.
People describe me as being a rich person, but that isn't how I think of myself.
We're sorry you've had so many crazy liberal Democrats running around here the last year.
I took on Trump all over the country, and we beat him. In fact, we beat him like a drum.
He's so lost that, honestly, that poor guy is so lost.
No, never forget, man. Y'all know the moment when Donald Trump met Kanye.
Yeah. How about that? One of the players for the Kansas City Chiefs there shows up at the news conference yesterday for the Super Bowl wearing a T-shirt that's got a very vivid color picture of Donald Trump and Kanye West on the front of it.
Interesting choice.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty fascinating. You got to listen to that full bite, though. Go to cut 22. Let people listen to what he said.
Oh, man, I got it from my good friend in L.A. At Zero's. Zero's is a clothing store. No, never forget, man. Y'all know the moment when Donald Trump met Kanye. You know, very historical moment in our history.
So everybody starts laughing, and he just smiles.
He's like, okay.
Yeah. He's a defensive end for the Chiefs.
No
Another
shame.
Reason to like them for Sunday, right? It's going to be a big deal.
That's what I said.
So
I
know. Excited.
I know. Everybody's excited. Fun. Wouldn't it be fun? And of course, the line is like 1 point, so we know it's going to be likely to be a really close game. But the folks at Remington Research just released a poll, and they polled people across the country who seem to think the Chiefs are going to win, and by a larger margin than a point. They think 7 points.
I'm going with that,
points.
Too. Yep. Sounds good to me.
So
it doesn't need to be close. Let's go ahead and take care of business.
Going to be fantastic. So that's the big story going on over the weekend. But today in Washington, D.C., we could end up with an up or down vote on witnesses, maybe an up or down vote on ending this impeachment trial. Let me welcome in our Missouri Senator Roy Blunt, who's in Washington this morning, of course, where he's been sequestered as a juror. how are you, Roy?
You know, I'm good. I'm excited about the Chiefs. And I think the Chiefs not only have already become Missouri's football team, I think they really have the chance to become America's team over the next decade. The combination of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, and this is an exciting team to watch. It's an exciting team to be for. You know, there really was actually a time when the Cowboys under Tom Landry were America's team. It's been a while, maybe, since that was the case. But I think the Chiefs could assume that role, and it certainly seems to me that the fans across America have divided pretty dramatically in favor of the Chiefs, and I hope the fans are happy on Sunday night. So,
well, I think they will be. That the poll I was talking about earlier shows a representation of the map in the U.S., and it really looks like the electoral map from 2016. It's mostly red.
Well, we will see what it looks like. Well, you know, we spent a lot of time hearing exactly the same thing over and over this week from the House managers. And I think what I told our conference I think a couple of weeks ago now, is that the real danger here is that we set the precedent. The House can send over anything they want to, and then the Senate has to somehow make a case out of it. You know, the House has all, which I also said this, the House has all the time in the world virtually to put a case together. They can go to court. They can take weeks and months to do this. They can do all of their other work while they're doing it. The president is impacted, but not in actual jeopardy until they've actually had the vote to impeach the president, whoever that president might be. And what we can't do is let them think they can send anything over here, and then the Senate has to call the witnesses they didn't call. You know, on John Bolton, for instance, John Bolton did not know, doesn't know anything today about this topic that he didn't know the 13th of December. This is not a, like a witness who suddenly has come out of nowhere and has all kinds of new information. Whatever he has to say, which I agree with Alan Dershowitz in his first presentation the other day, wouldn't impact the outcome based on everything we know about what he has to say. But the key point is they could have gone to court. They chose not to. They could have got the information. They chose not to. And you can't let partisan impeachment become something that one side can use to just totally put the government out of business by saying, we'll just send anything to the Senate and they can do whatever they want to with it. We have heard the House case in the last week at least 20 times. They had about 45 minutes of material, and they have repeated it about 45 times.
Do you take caffeine tablets before you go into the session? Because you're only allowed to have water and milk in there. I can't imagine people aren't nodding off at some point.
Well, you know, I took really good notes. That's one of the ways I can stay focused sometimes on, you know, Intel committee work and other work where you're hearing all this intricate information. But at some point, 2 or 3 days ago, there were no new notes to take. And I got tired of taking these same notes, but just watching the House manager say, we have totally proven this case. We have incontrovertible evidence. We have given you everything you need to remove the president from office. But now we need to insist that you bring witnesses so you can take more time on this. It is as totally political as it could be. I hope we figure out how to end it today, and I intend to do my part to do that.
Yeah. Senator Blunt, our guest this morning, and, you know, did you see the Politico article that's out? They're circulating an article about a 4-page letter Joe Biden wrote back in 1999, basically drawing the conclusion that the Senate need not hold a full-blown trial. He said you can dismiss articles of impeachment without holding a full trial or taking new evidence. This is what Joe Biden wrote during the Clinton impeachment. He clearly feels differently these days.
Well, a lot of people feel differently than they did 20 years ago. But I'll tell you the thing I think the country should really look at. For 180 years, the first 180 years of constitutional history, the country only seriously touched presidential impeachment one time. There are always people that said, in the Congress, it said presidents were abusing their power and every president wasn't cooperating enough. But only one time did the country reach out after the Civil War and touch this issue. And here we are. We've been here three times now in 46 years. How we handle this today and whether we make it a routine thing that is somehow just part of the partisan political process, really important. Nancy Pelosi was right a year ago, and I don't say this very often, but I'm going to say again, Nancy Pelosi was right a year ago when she said, for this to be worth doing, it has to be bipartisan. It has to be something that is clearly, totally, and widely understood. And the House didn't stick with that. The bipartisan vote was the vote not to send the articles over. That's the vote that had both Democrats and Republicans voted on it. And these House managers, Zoe Lofgren, Jerry Nadler, the president's counsel showed staff of them 20 years ago saying you should never pursue totally partisan impeachment. And I agree with that. I think that was right. That was right. They were right when they said that, and they were wrong when they took the bait and decided in an election year, 9 months from the election, we're going to try to take something away from the American people, which is their right to decide who their president is.
Well, Senator, a lot of people are doing some vote counting this morning, and I'm sure that you've been in on some of these discussions. Your counterparts, Murkowski, Romney, Alexander, and Collins, seem to be the ones everybody's focusing on. Do you know if there are 51 votes to get this thing to the finish line?
Well, I hope there are 51 votes. If there are 50 votes not to do something, that's a tie, and a tie that prevails on the negative side. So even if they all three would vote to call witnesses, there'd still be half of the Senate voting not to call witnesses. And so that issue wouldn't prevail, but it would certainly be better if there are 51 votes not to call witnesses. I hope that's what happens today.
Yeah, I mean, can I assume that if you can give us some inside baseball here, is this what Mitch McConnell spends his time doing? Is he in meetings with these four folks trying to convince them?
Well, you know, I think Mitch McConnell, along with me and others, would like to get back to the issues we want to deal with. And obviously, another reason you should insist that the House send a solid case is so that the Senate is not bogged down. Now, unlike the House, when we get impeachment, we have to deal with it as it has priority over everything else. And we want to get back to everything else. And there have been a lot of conversations, I know, between our whole conference and between the leaders in the conference and the members to be sure that everybody understands the gravity of the moment here. And how sending the wrong message to the House makes partisan impeachment even a bigger likelihood as part of the political process. It's the wrong thing to do. And no witness would change. This is the other thing I've been saying. When you're thinking about do you need other witnesses just because you'd like to know, unless a witness would actually change the result, there are other ways to get that information later. But unless a witness not just would change a vote, but would actually change the result, and there is no way in the world, and never has been, that on this set of facts, 20 Republicans were going to join all the Democrats and vote to remove the president.
Right. Yeah, that's a great point. One last impeachment-related question. Are you expecting a vote today? And if the vote is against witnesses, will there then be a vote to wrap this thing up today?
If the vote is against witnesses, the next vote in order would be to vote on the articles, and I would hope that happens today.
Oh, good.
You know, here things sometimes take longer than looking at the clock and figuring out how much time is set aside for this and that would indicate. But there's no particular reason to stretch this out any further. We are, again, let me say, we are 9 months and a couple of days from the election. The American people get to look at all of this information. They get to decide. We shouldn't be voting not only to remove the president, but to make it impossible for him to be on the ballot that he's already on.
True.
The president's already on ballots where people are going to be voting within the next week. There's a way to figure out who our leaders are. Unless impeachment is bipartisan on an issue that is clearly understood, where every American can look at that and say, yes, whoever that president is, has stepped too far. This should not be. This partisan impeachment should have never happened, and hopefully we can end it today.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. Missouri Senator Roy Blunt, our guest this morning. Let's talk about what else is going on. I heard the president call you out by name the other day and thank you for your efforts on the USMCA. He announces a Middle East peace plan. He's been active working on a lot of different issues, all with this impeachment thing going on in the background.
Well, he has been. And, of course, the economy is as strong as it's ever been. Tax policy, good. Regulatory policy under this president, incredibly good. And now trade policy, more closely aligned to where the president would like it and our country would benefit from it. That's all going to go forward. I had yesterday with a few other senators in my office a Nobel Prize winner who's really been the leader in the whole discovering in the last 30 years of immunotherapy, where you can use your own fighting capacity to fight back disease. We just saw, and we put a real focus in a committee I chair to focus on NIH research. Where, by the way, Washington University is in the top four institutions in the country in National Institute of Health research grants on Alzheimer's and cancer and other things. Just announced yesterday that for the first time in 4 years, life expectancy had gone back up. The two big reasons given were cancer deaths are headed in the direction we'd want them to head, which not many people die from cancer as we're dying from cancer. And the opioid fight, we finally have a significant decline in drug overdose deaths. That's the kind of thing, and including the things that you mentioned that the president's working on, that the Congress and the president needs to be working on together. A stronger economy, healthier families, better jobs, and a safer America.
All right. Senator, are you satisfied that National Institutes of Health, CDC, they're all doing enough about this coronavirus? Is that on your radar?
It is. It very much is. I chair the committee that funds both the National Institute of Health and the Center for Disease Control. I had an hour-long meeting last Friday with Dr. Redfield, who runs the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta. They have at least initially the resources they need. We did have the first person in the United States get the disease from somebody else, as opposed to getting it from a marketplace with in China or something. But they actually got it from somebody else. It's a major concern. I ought to be seriously considering not allowing any flights to come in from China. For a while, British Airways and others have already shut off all their flights out of China. And that's the kind of thing that people expect their government to be paying attention
right,
to.
Right, right.
And we need to get on with that. I'm spending a lot of time watching this. I think that both the resources and the reaction in our country are good. We'd be willing to help the Chinese more than they're willing to let us help. But discussions are clearly going on between the health officials of both countries to be sure that we're doing everything we can to contain this problem where it is.
So, Senator Blunt, I have to ask, because you are one of only two senators from the state of Missouri, can I assume that you have a ticket to the Super Bowl on Sunday?
Well, we wouldn't have one because of that, but I do have a ticket, and I'm going to be there.
I figured the Chiefs were probably invited the politicians to come to the game. That's the only reason I ask.
No.
Okay.
No free ticket, but I hope to be at the Chiefs victory party when it's over. I won't tell you that.
I was hoping they'd invite radio talk show hosts from around the state, too, but that hasn't happened.
That didn't happen either. Huh?
That didn't happen either. Senator Blunt, thanks so much for your time this morning.
You bet.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Yeah, take care. We appreciate that. All right. So you heard it here. He expects a vote today on the question of witnesses. He thinks they'll have 51 votes. And even if it's a 50-50 vote, there are no witnesses. So that's breaking news to me. I'd never heard that before. And he's one of the rules guys, so he knows that. And then if that happens, he then expects a final vote on the articles of impeachment today. Folks, I think this thing is signed, sealed, delivered, over with this afternoon. That's a big relief. We can all get back to talking about important things like football.
Don't you think?
Yeah, it'll clear the way to celebrate on Monday.
Yeah.
Well, you know, last weekend the Senate never went out of session. Like they were there listening Saturday. You don't think there's any pressure? You don't think there's a Super Bowl effect here? that's kind of why I asked him that question. I think there's a Super Bowl effect.
I'll bet a bunch of those people to Miami.
Have tickets to the Super Bowl and they don't want to be in session on Sunday. I'm just saying. You got to have your priorities. I'm just kidding. I'm not suggesting that's why they're shutting it down today.
Oh, they've got to want to shut it down, too.
It was a joke. So glad to hear his comments on the coronavirus, because clearly he's in charge of that committee that oversees this. You know he's heard testimony on it. and what they're doing to try to protect Americans. There's a story out today about if you're going to fly on an airplane, the safest place to sit to avoid getting infected.
Is
have you ever heard that?
The window.
By the window.
Out the window.
Near the window.
Well,
the Emory University modeled the movements of passengers around an aircraft to show how viruses spread. Found that people in aisle seats are much more likely to come into contact with infected passengers.
Because they're going to brush past you, potentially
touch more people.
Yeah.
So if you're worried about it, stay in your seat, because the more you get up and move around, the greater chance you have
of getting infected. You're all sucking in the same air, though.
And sitting in a window would be the way to avoid that the best. Unless, of course, the guy next to you is slobbering on you, and then what do you do? Yeah. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk a bit to the Media Research Center. Stay tuned.
The whistleblower started all this. Why has the whistleblower never been questioned? Shouldn't the House Democrats have found a secure way to do that? It's a legitimate point of debate as we go through this.
He's rising. That's telling the Republicans they got a good shot at reelecting this president, whether they like him or not. They're facing a future of hell if they go to war with Trump right now.
Wow, some rare insight and honesty from at least one left-wing commentator there in Chris Matthews, and then one commentator from a center-left network, CNN, right? John King was the first guy you heard there, admitting that there are legitimate questions about the whistleblower. Why shouldn't we be hearing about the whistleblower? And then Matthews admitting that Donald Trump's reelection chances look good. There's a little shred of honesty in there from them that you don't get a whole lot. You know, I mentioned this yesterday. The Media Research Center, they go out and they record hours and hours of network news coverage, and they go back and they look at the content. And what they come up with is eye-opening. We got Kyle Drennan with us this morning. Kyle's a senior news analyst for the MRC, the Media Research Center, MRC.org. Kyle, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. You know, I remember doing something similar to this back around the time of the Kavanaugh hearings, and the results were not dramatically different. The evening news, the main newscasts in this country, the broadcast news channels, there's a clear difference in their coverage between positive and negative stories of this administration.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We looked at the evening newscasts on NBC, ABC, CBS over the past, since last week, since the impeachment trial began. And of all of the sort of evaluative statements from anchors, from correspondents about the two sides, the two legal teams, the Democratic prosecutors, the president's defense team, of all those evaluative statements, 100% of the statements about the Trump defense team were negative. By contrast, 95% of the statements about the Democratic prosecutors were positive.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's stunning.
So in other words, when you say evaluative statements, these are these journalists on these various broadcast network shows. We're not talking about CNN and MSNBC here. We're talking about the big three, ABC, NBC, CBS. So if they're making an evaluative statement, they're analyzing what they heard.
Correct. Yeah, no, it's basically sort of a review, like, oh, how did the Democrats do today? How did the president's defense team do today? Those sorts of statements. And the Democrats just always got, sort of glowing reviews. Oh, they're painting a damning portrayal of the president. Oh, they're using the president's words against him. I mean, those are the kinds of statements they were getting. The president's defense team, it was constantly, oh, well, they claimed this, but, that's not really true, or, that's not accurate. I mean, everything was an attempt to tear down whatever argument they had made that day, whereas the Democrats, it was just sort of, wow, good for the Democrats. They really made a good argument today. I mean, it's just so obvious.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's great that you did that. Why do you draw that line, though? I mean, obviously, this looked at ABC, CBS, NBC. Why not the cable news channels as well?
Well, really, part of it is the network news is still one of the places that a lot of people get their news. Millions and millions of people watch it. The ratings for the evening newscasts on the big three networks is many times more than you're ever going to see on CNN or MSNBC. So it's incredibly influential. I mean, people sort of think of the broadcast networks as being sort of old-fashioned, and they are in this new media environment, but they still have tons and tons of viewers. And a lot of the people who view the evening newscasts are sort of people who maybe are not, you know, paying attention to politics every minute of the day.
Right.
You know, they're
right.
sort of just your average voters who are, you know, that's just the news that they like to watch for a little bit when they get home from work. And so it's sort of those more casual voters who are not keeping up with every single latest development in Washington who can be very persuadable. And so the way the networks cover the news can really shape public opinion in a unique way.
Kyle Drennan, my guest from the Media Research Center, I love the way you put that because, unless you're of a certain age, people may not remember Walter Cronkite. But I remember when Walter Cronkite started making negative comments about the Vietnam War. And network news had a much bigger impact back then because it had not yet been watered down by the cable news and the satellite options and all the other channels people could choose from. That was your single source of news. That doesn't mean the impact is not still great today. So you make a great point there. And the other point, I think, is that if you watch MSNBC and Fox and CNN, in addition to their newscasts, they have opinion anchors on. The major networks don't have that. They're only supposed to be journalists, and then they have entertainment programs like sitcoms. And that's it.
Yeah, no, and that is a big part of it. I mean, MSNBC, CNN, you know, they clearly are, you know where a lot of their hosts are coming from, and you can say, well, most of what they do is editorial nowadays, and I think a lot of people kind of understand that. But the network news, people turn on the evening newscasts, and they are expecting, okay, this is just the news of the day. This is just what happened. I mean, that's how it's portrayed, that this is supposed to be objective, we're just reporting the facts sort of news. And if they're not, people need to know that.
Yeah, well, it's a good point. But besides the percentages you mentioned earlier, there's one more thing I wanted you to point out to my listeners this morning, and that's of the amount of coverage, because that's also a big deal. How, when I watch a newscast, because I worked in local television news for 25 years, I went to journalism school. I learned how you stack a newscast with the most important stuff at the top, and then it goes down from there. The thing you think has the most impact on people. So the amount of time, therefore, a newscast dedicates to a certain story also lends to how important it thinks that story is. How did the time break down on the networks between the Democratic managers and the Republican presentation?
Yeah, and that's a big part of it, too. There was a huge disparity. The Democratic managers got over 25 minutes of coverage between, the three network evening newscasts combined over the past week or so. And the Republican manager, the Republican defense team only got 11 minutes. So, I mean, it was more than twice the airtime for the Democratic to basically boost the Democratic case against the president, and much less time for the Republican case defending the president. And, of course, all the coverage of that was negative.
Yeah, it's a great point. Listen, Kyle, we appreciate what you guys do at MRC. People can read more on all of these stories at MRC.org.
MRC.org or Newsbusters.org.
Very good. Hey, Kyle, I appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Kyle Drennan there joining us this morning. Kind of eye-opening. You can't get around it. Is network news as influential as it was in 1967? No. But it's still, as he mentioned, huge among people who aren't like me, who aren't information junkies, who live it, eat it, breathe it 24 hours a day. For people that are more casual observers, it has an influence. How they watch TV has an influence. If they only watch the CBS Evening News or the ABC News or whatever, this is the angle they're getting, folks. This is it. It's like being trapped in an international airport where you only have CNN International to watch. You're only getting one point of view.
Well, I know that I go home and I watch Wheel of Fortune every night on Channel 5, so I watch whatever's on before that.
Yeah.
And that's it, because I turn it on because I know that's coming up. Mm-hmm. I'm not sitting down and watching it, but that's what's on in the background. So if that was my only source of news, I'd like to tell you what it was, but I can't. But if that was my only source of news, that would be...
Well, I don't know about you. I'd go home and watch 90 Day Fiancé.
What?
I just watched 90 Day Fiancé or whatever it is. No, isn't that the name of it? Isn't that what it's that? Called? Isn't that it? Sue Thomas is laughing at me in there. Is that not the name of the show? Hold on.
It totally is.
It is, right? 90
yes,
Day Fiancé.
Totally is.
My daughter and her husband watched this
How
show.
How have I missed this
which
show?
Which is the only reason I know it even exists.
It's kind of, it's horrifying and entertaining all at the
like
same
a train
time.
Wreck.
Yes.
So is the premise that you stay engaged for 90 days and then you get married?
It's about people that have found like mail order brides or somebody on the internet from another country, and when they bring them to this country, they have 90 days to get married, or that person doesn't get a visa to stay here. It's something like that. There's a deadline, and so they have basically 90 days to get to know each other and decide if they're going to get married or not. That's
and
what
it
the
always
story
goes smoothly.
It's a great
like
operation.
It. Yeah, that's a good idea.
90 days.
Oh, I'm just kidding.
It's highbrow television, people. Highbrow.
As is most of it, you know, especially reality shows. But they're still fun.
Yeah, okay. Fun. It's that way you can just shut down. You don't have to worry about anything serious, and you can just watch that instead.
Denise, now you and I know that's a thing.
I know.
It's a thing.
Got to have to try and find that show now.
Well, not often a successful thing, but it's a thing. That's for sure. All right. Hey, let me get to a break here real quick. 314-241-9797. I got J.J. Carafano coming up. Can't wait to talk to him about Brexit. He's been out there tweeting about it already this morning.
Well, he will not be acquitted. You cannot be acquitted if you don't have a trial. And you don't have a trial if you don't have witnesses and documentation and that.
What a horrible woman she is.
So what are they doing in the House exactly?
She is something.
Thank you. You started this, Nancy. You started this. You didn't have to start this, and you didn't have to rush it through the House without witnesses that you now demand the Senate provide for you. It's amazing what they've gotten away with up there. It really is. Hey, we've got a special guest on line one. Mama Kay calling in. Haven't heard from you in a while. How are you?
Hi, you guys.
Hi,
hey,
Mama.
What's going
Good
on?
Good
morning. Hi, girls. Well, you know Mama Kay died on Twitter, right?
I heard that. I did hear that because I didn't realize your new handle until the other day. Trisha told me.
Yep, I've been reborn.
I like it, though.
Welcome back.
So the question I have, and maybe I'm a junkie, right? So a political junkie.
Thanks for clearing that up.
I don't have an answer to this question. So why is it that, like, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, Tulsi Gabbard, and there's a fourth one I can't remember. Why don't they recuse themselves from this impeachment? Aren't they impeding a presidential process?
Wouldn't you think? Aren't they doing what's in the best interest for them politically? You know how they're going to vote. They want to defeat.
It's a conflict of interest.
It is.
They can't
completely
vote on this.
It is. I couldn't agree with you more. All I can figure, Lisa, is that because it's a room full of politicians, and you know that most of them are going to vote based on their party affiliation in this trial. It's a foregone conclusion. I mean, it's not like a criminal trial where the defense attorney and the prosecutor could question people ahead of time. Are you going to be biased? Have you ever met the defendant before? You don't have that process. Doesn't exist at all.
Well, if we took those four out, doesn't that kind of shift the dynamic back to now the Republicans have more votes?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. But I don't think you could. I don't know. I don't think you could argue that the other 44 that would be left or 43 that would be left are any less biased. They all want Donald Trump removed from office.
Well, it's just a question I've seen pop up on Twitter now that I'm back, and I've seen it on Facebook, and we have these conversations and, you know, in our little groups. Why, especially with the fannies, hi,
yes.
Fannies, nobody has an answer for this. Why do they get to bend and break the rules and not suffer the consequences? And here's a classic example of Democrats cheating.
Yep. It's true.
They're cheating.
Hey, great to hear from you. Thanks for calling us.
All right. Hey, you guys have a great weekend and
go Chiefs.
All right. Thank you. Always good to hear from Mama Kay. Yeah, I think she's right. And it is cheating. It's also politics. And I don't know how we get around it. I should have asked Roy Blunt that, but I have a feeling I know what his answer would have been. They're sitting U.S. senators. They're part of the jury. There's nothing we can do to.
Yeah, if Trump had a primary opponent on the GOP side, I mean, it is crazy that his opponents can oversee something like this. But
yeah, completely.
Either party.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.